Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, to 4:30 on this Monday, the home team, full 3 hours today. Chris and Jeff till 7 as we shift gears now. And as we do each and every Monday, talk a little bit of golf with our friend Cuts Benedict. And, hey, what a great week it was again on the PGA Tour with another former Bulldog winning the Honda Classic, Keith Mitchell. And, Cuts, it wasn't a cheap win either. He had Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler right behind him, tied for second, just one shot back. And he had to hit that long birdie putt on 18 to secure the win.
Yeah, if you can beat Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler down the stretch, you have earned it. And, you know, never mind the golf course, that particular, you know, PGA National with the bear trap coming down the stretch with all that water. I mean, just a crazy finish. And that golf course kind of brings out some interesting golf from different players over the years. But, you know, hand it to Keith Mitchell. I mean, he birdied 4 out of the last 7 holes. Navigated that bear trap with no penalties, obviously, and got it done. What a great win! And you know, I think a lot of people around these parts felt like it was a matter of time before he had success on the PGA Tour.
So, he was a guy with a lot of top tens for sure. And mm-hmm. I think when you're talking about this win, remember when Russell Henley won down there? I guess that was in what, 15 or 16, and he beat Rory down the stretch, and that was a big lift because of the connection with the Golden Bear, the great Jack Nicklaus. This is always a tremendous field. So like you said, like Brame said, that's a great win to win against this field. And then when you got Koepka and Fowler on your heels, and also the way he won. I mean, at one point Sunday, he was 3 back. And by the way, Vijay Singh, who's had a pretty good career, was in the mix. And then to win the way he did, to make a putt like that, to win. I mean, a double figures foot putt.
Yeah, want to tap him.
Yeah. No, whatever it was, 12, 14 feet, whatever it was, to run that in to win against that field with Fowler and Koepka on your heels there. I mean, that is a tremendous, tremendous victory there for Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, no question. And as you said, you know, obviously we mentioned, you know, Koepka and Fowler and Singh and you know, just the magnitude of winning. I think I turned on the telecast yesterday. I thought, let's see, where's Keith Mitchell? First thing I thought, where's Keith Mitchell? I scrolled down and I went, oh man, he's out of it. That's exactly what I'm saying to myself. Well, okay, write him off. He's done. He can't win. And then, you know, to birdie 4 out of the last 7 holes is pretty remarkable. But on 18, I'm not sure if it was Golf Channel or if it was online, but I saw his interview where he said he on his putt on 18, 72nd hole, you know, for the win, and he's standing there and he's thinking, okay, you know, this is what you do as a junior player, a college player. You know, your whole life, you want a putt on 18 to win whatever, you know. And he said he couldn't feel his hands. Yeah, you have to appreciate his honesty there because, you know, a lot of people are, I don't know if they're going to take it to that level, but, you know, I could, you know, who couldn't relate with handling that, you know, and what a great line. And I'm sure he was telling it exactly the way it was, but, you know, when you're that talented and you've done it before and you know, you draw on confidence and you know, the history of your career doing it at every level. And, you know, just a fantastic putt and to see that thing go in. Odds are he's not going to make it. I mean, he can hit that putt. You know, you hit that putt 10 times, you're going to make it about 3 times on the practice green, you know, with your buddies. Never mind, you know, under those circumstances. So, you know, it's just fantastic. And you think about what goes with it. You know, he plays the Masters, 2-year exemption on tour, and it really is probably going to kickstart a career. And we'll be talking about Keith Mitchell for a long time.
Yeah, I'm here for the 2-year exemption on tour.
I mean, that is sweet. And then to get into Augusta, certainly for a Georgia Bulldog. Bulldog. It's just a dream come true for him. And I think the other thing for a guy who's been grinding, Keith made a lot of money last year. And Cuts, I know you batted it around as a golf pro when you were a terrific player for the University of Texas. Just, you know, kind of back to Brame's point, yeah, you get in the Masters, and I'm assuming he'll be rated high enough now to get in the other majors as well. But it just lets you – it lets you exhale and breathe just right. A little bit. You can relax.
No
and
question.
Maybe when you're looking at your schedule now in September or when the calendar turns around or in August, you're saying, well, although the PGA is not in August anymore, it's like, I don't have to play every week, you know, between right. The U.S. Open and the British Open or between the PGA and the U.S. Open. You can actually breathe a little bit and kind of start setting your schedule up for the majors.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the number one thing. And I don't know if it's necessarily majors with Keith Mitchell at this point, but it certainly it lets a player at his age, you know, and he's very young as by tour standards, but it lets a player like him set his calendar, and he doesn't have to feel like he's chasing a money list and he's mm-hmm. got to get in that top 50, top 100, top whatever. Of course, he still wants to be there and be exempt into all the majors and whatnot going forward as a tour winner. But, you know, being able to do your own schedule now, I mean, you know, and that 1.2 something million is going to be pretty handy, by the way. And you know, you like his chances now to qualify for the FedEx Cup and sure. at Eastlake and the whole deal. So, you know,
it builds on it. It's the rich getting richer. And those WGCs with no cuts.
Question.
And I mean, that's how you compile money and points.
No question. And you look at, like, this World Golf Championship that's coming up in Austin here at the end of March. I mean, I was just scouting through here a little while ago looking at the calendar, and they have the purse and everything else. I mean, that's a $10 million purse. The Players Championship is a $12 million purse. So you make the cut in those events, and even if you don't have your on week necessarily, you know, the guy that finishes 30th or 25th or whatever, they're building points, they're building money lists. It's just you know, and you need to get in those events, and it does build on itself, as you said, and I'm sure that Chris Hack was beside himself watching that yesterday, and I don't know if he was there, but you know, just another Georgia golfer. It's just amazing, you know. It makes you like, okay, what kind of water do they drink over there? I mean, what's going on in that Boyd Center over there? That's crazy what they're doing.
Yeah, it's 10 winners on tour. For Coach,
unbelievable.
Hack.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and you know, you just can't. You know, we all know golf's an individual game, and most of these guys have their teachers back home where they live. I mean, Keith's from Chattanooga. I don't know his teacher or what's going on there. I know he's a Sea Island guy now, so he's got a great support staff at Sea Island. He's got nutritionists and fitness people and all the teaching pros that you could ever want, but. You know, you gotta give credit where credit's due, and what Chris Hack has done since 97, 98 when he came to UGA is just this side of remarkable. And there's a handful of really amazing college coaches over the last 40 or 50 years, but you got to put Hack in that conversation. I mean, it's just amazing what he's produced, and you know, he doesn't have to apologize for anything with his SEC championships and two national championships, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
amazing.
It was, you know, I guess another interesting subplot to the weekend, though, was seeing Brooks Koepka finish second, because I guess he played the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, and since then, I guess he hasn't played a tournament in the contiguous United States this year. He was in Mexico the week before, and before that, he finished like 57th in that Saudi tournament that –
right,
Sergio. You know, yeah, I mean, the only reason we even knew that tournament was happening was because Sergio damaged the golf course. But now it feels like now that we're making the turn toward Augusta, Koepka mm-hmm. shows up, plays a tournament mm-hmm. in Florida, finishes
right.
second. Are we just going to, once Augusta rolls around, Tiger's going to win, Rory's going to win. Hey, don't forget Dustin Johnson, and then no one's going to mention Brooks Koepka again, and he's going to win the Masters? Is that how it's going to go?
Yeah, that pretty much the way it works, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, of course, yeah, with the Players now, again, before the Masters, the Players will be a big deal. You know, of course, Arnold Palmer this week, and then the Players, which I still can't, you know, I thought the Players was late March, and, you know, all of a sudden, you look at it, wow, March 14th to 17th, and that's boy, that's early, and you just never know what the weather's going to do. It could, you know, you could get one of those northern fronts blow through, and that may end with wind and chilly temperatures, but who knows. But there's a lot of golf between here and Augusta with the players. A lot of the tour players like the Innisbrook course that they play Valspar in in Tampa, and then you almost have to play the World Golf Championship deal in Austin, but it's match play. So if you lose, you kind of go, okay, I lost, and I can leave, and I can go kind of rest and get ready for the Masters, and then, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, as you said, it's a little bit of who's done what lately, but you have to, I mean, right now, we talked about last week a minute, you know, Rory and Dustin Johnson, you would have to put at the top two, as far as, you know, who's going to be the overwhelming favorites. But obviously, the winner of the players, the winner of the match play, are going to jump into that conversation, particularly if they're in the top 10, if it's a Justin Rose or somebody along those lines.
Well, and I think, too, what we saw, Cuts, and you brought this up, and I guess we were watching the same thing on the Golf Channel, with the way Pete Dye designed the course at Sawgrass there. There's a lot of water at Bay Hill. There's a lot of water on the bear trap there. So Florida golf in March, when the winds are blowing, windy March down in Florida, it's going to have an effect this week. And you bet your boots, especially with that closing stretch at the TPC, it'll have a big effect then too. I like the event being in March. I grew up with it being in March. I prefer it there. And to me, that's like having this just delicious appetizer before the Masters. I thought when they moved it to May, it was just one of those deals that, you know, this way it is – It's almost that fifth major. That way we'll have one in every month. It just didn't feel as good to me. So I love it being back in March. And, again, this is what Pete Dye designed that golf course for.
Yeah, that's what the media made reference to. And I didn't know that necessarily, but certainly – yeah, it'll be a great event no matter when they play it, and having it in March, I guess part of me liked it in May, and I've never been to the Players and watched it as a spectator, but I guess I liked it. I liked the thought of it in May. I just felt like, boy, there's just that 17th hole, you know, looked like they build Sanford Stadium around that 17th hole, and there's just, you know, no telling, you know, what kind of beverages are moving along. when it's literally, because the first week or two in May in Jacksonville, it's in the 80s. Ain't no 60s or 70s, and there's no cold fronts blowing through. So, you know, that'll be as a spectator, I don't guess it'll impact too much. I mean, people will enjoy their experience, but as a player, yeah. If the wind blows, heck, if it doesn't blow, who wants to stand on 17 and hit that shot anyway?
All right. So, Cuts, what do you think, Bay Hill this week? Anybody you're leaning? And is it one of those things like we've said with Rory, with Dustin Johnson? Is this the point? Do you want to win now, or is it better just to kind of lurk around the top 10 to get the game set for Augusta?
That's what Rory's been doing, lurking.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and he's the defending champion at Bay Hill, which, you know, of course, defending champion, whatever that means, I guess that means something. But it means he played well there last year,
right,
I guess.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I don't know. You know, I guess, look, I never played at the level these guys played at. I never played the tour or anything. But I can tell you, as a junior player and collegiately, I always wanted to sort of build up to the most important tournaments. And you know, in college it was a conference tournament or an NCAA regional or NCAA final, et cetera. And so I always wondered, let's not play our best in the whatever invitational in February or March. Let's play our best at conference in April and then NCAA in May. And you know, let's peak at sort of quote unquote the right time. And I don't think these guys are different. I mean, nobody isn't going to try and win. I mean, if you said to Rory, would you take a win this week?
Sure.
Or do you not want to win? He's going to say, well, sure, I'd like to win. I'd like to make putts and build confidence. And you can say that for sure. But it's hard to win multiple times over in a short period of time. I mean, that's just the law of averages. It's kind of like, you know, was Auburn going to beat Georgia in that SEC championship game? It was not going to happen. And, you know, they just beat them. And so, you know, it's just hard. It's hard to win, you know, as in anything back to back, if you will, or in close proximity on the calendar. So I think guys like to build and peak, and Nicklaus was a master at it.
Sure.
I was thinking he's won it eight times, that this was feeling maybe like a Tiger week, but he's pulled out of the tournament now with a neck injury. He finished top, or I guess he was tied for 10th in Mexico. I mean, had there been anything with his play that you looked at it and went like, well, maybe he's not 100%? Or?
Yeah, no, I sure didn't see anything. In fact, I thought his swing in Mexico looked absolutely amazing. Best it's looked probably since, you know, since he was player of the year. What, in 20, was it 2013? He won five times and was player of the year, I guess. And you know, I think since then, you know, his swing just looked great. And I know, okay, it's a golf swing. It doesn't necessarily add up to a score, but, you know, I thought he looked great. The only problem he had in Mexico was that he didn't putt well. So you sit there and you go, okay, well, those greens, you just don't know what those greens are. I mean, we're talking about a golf course in Mexico City, not something that's in the States, and that necessarily conditions-wise, you really don't know what it is. I just felt like if Tiger got his putting straightened around little bit of momentum maybe with a decent finish coming in. I mean, everybody's still going to pick him as one of their three or four favorites at Augusta just because everybody remembers when, right? You know,
he hadn't won it since 2005.
Gosh,
isn't that
who
crazy?
Would have ever, I mean, in your life would you thought there could be 14 Masterses played in Tiger Woods' semi-prime and not have him. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well,
he hasn't.
Think about this. So that was 14 years ago when Tiger last won it in 2005. 14 years prior to that, Ian Woosnam won the Masters. That's just kind of when you start talking about it. My man Watson was right there in that one. That was a bitter pill. But yeah, it's been a while. Again, he hadn't won a major in 11 years now. So there's no way I'm picking him. I don't think he can putt good enough, but – you know, maybe the PGA, who knows? I think Augusta's going to be tough for him.
Green Jacket's Koepka's.
I agree.
Yeah, I would give him a better chance at Pebble Beach than I would
the
Masters.
You go. Yeah. I think Tiger and Phil, that's their last chance to win a U.S. Open.
What
for
if
those
you finally
two,
get the Tiger-Phil showdown at Pebble?
I would be.
That'd be a good way to spend a weekend in June.
And Tiger needs to get a major just under his belt, just playing one this year. I mean, okay, he won the Tour Championship last fall, and everybody's anticipation is, oh, boy, he's going to win a major in 2019. Woo, let's pump the brakes a little
those
bit on
nerves,
that. Maybe not.
Those
know.
Nerves that he didn't have to worry about when he was rolling. And, you know, and we've seen him fall back. It happened at the Open last year.
Now it's the pressure of almost like you're winning again for the first time.
Thank you.
That's exactly what we've talked about, and I think we're right on the money there. It's almost like somebody not a rookie per se, maybe, but it's got to be a similar feel in what the way your body and your emotions feel. You know, for him winning again is going to be, you know, I mean, that Tour Championship was maybe a little bit of an over the hump type thing, but a major, boy, that's like a whole nother step, just like Keith Mitchell saying he's going to win a major. It would be almost the same thing with Tiger at this point.
There you go.
Well, Cuts, we appreciate your time. Enjoyed it as always, and we'll look forward to next Monday and getting into the Players' Championship.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you,
Have
Cutter.
A great week.
You're the best, buddy.
All right, there he is, Cuts Benedict, as we talk a little golf with him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.